Iran and Afghanistan, two countries with a shared language and similar cultures, who are now planning to sign an agreement that will solidify their friendship. Stay with us as we discuss the many dimensions of the relationship between Iran and Afghanistan. Two weeks ago, U.S. Defense Minister Chuck Hagel was in Afghanistan. But while he was there, hoping to negotiate a security treaty, Afghan President Hamid Karzai flew to Iran to meet up with his Iranian counterpart, Hassan Rouhani. The security treaty is a subject of much debate at the moment in Afghanistan. According to the country's foreign ministry spokesman, Karzai's brief seven-hour visit to Iran on the 8th of December was aimed at strengthening economic ties, reviewing the state of Afghan refugees in Iran, and the trilateral cooperation of Iran, India and Afghanistan in expanding Iran's Chabahar port. Tehran and Kabul also agreed on the outline of a long-term friendship pact that will be signed in the near future, when the details are all agreed upon. Iran's newly elected President Hassan Rouhani has been in office for only 6 months, but during that time, President Karzai has been to Tehran twice. The first time, Rouhani invited him to his inauguration ceremony in Parliament. All this seems to be the result of the Rouhani administration's desire to strengthen ties with Iran's neighbors. Only 4 months after the World Trade Center came down on September 11, 2001, killing 3,000 people, U.S.-led forces invaded Afghanistan. It was called the War on Terror. The purported goal was to uproot Al-Qaeda and capture its figurehead, bin Laden, in particular. After a decade of scouring and attacking Afghan cities and villages in search of him, U.S. forces said they had found bin Laden in a house in Pakistan in 2011. Washington wrapped up the war by saying bin Laden had been killed and his body disposed of. It was time for U.S. forces to exit the ravaged nation. After 12 years, NATO forces are expected to quit Afghanistan by the end of 2014. But in 2012, the US and Afghanistan signed a strategic partnership agreement. When the agreement was signed, it was decided that the section on security would be signed later.
In the future, they will turn Afghanistan into a place for spying on all of the region. They have set up 9 underground bases, mostly for espionage. 2 of them are near Iran, 1 near Central Asia, 1 in Kabul, and others near Pakistan's border. They are staying to spy. Their drones will remain in Afghanistan. It has not been even mentioned in the treaty anything about drones, whether they will remain there or not. By the same token, there has not been mentioned anything about the role of the CIA in Afghanistan. But a big base has been established in Bagram for the Central Intelligence Agency.
This agreement will allow U.S. forces to stay in Afghanistan for yet another decade. Although Lawyer Jirga has agreed to sign it, Karzai says he won't unless his conditions are met. He says U.S. forces must refrain from attacking Afghan homes like before and try and make peace with the Taliban.
It's more than a year since the negotiations have been started on this matter. A draft has been prepared so far. Recently, Mr. Karzai has called for Louis Jarget to discuss the issue. Afghanistan's security issues will be defiantly considered whenever the treaty is signed. The treaty will not be to the detriment of neighboring countries, especially Iran. What's more, Afghanistan is allowed to abrogate the treaty whenever it wants.
In her weekly press conference on the 3rd of September, Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson, Marzia Afram, said the security agreement between the US and Afghanistan was an internal matter. Tehran has given Kabul its opinion, though, saying the agreement was not in Afghanistan's long-term interests and would have adverse effects on regional developments.
Honestly, Afghans don't benefit from the treaty, and their rights have been denied in the treaty. I hope that the negotiation will break down. It's even worse than the capitulation treaty that the US was going to impose on Iran in 1964. The treaty can cause a lot of problems for Afghans.
As for the treaty, it seems that Iran totally disagrees with it. Iran has declared its reason on that score. There are to be two US military bases, one in Shenzhen City in Herat province and the other one in Helmand. These two regions are near the border between Iran and Afghanistan. The base which is going to be established in Helmand is just a few kilometers away from Iran. It's about 5 or 6 kilometers away from Iran at most. So, for security reasons, these bases will be against Iran's national interests.
Amidst all this, Hamid Karzai flew to Iran on the 8th of September with a high-profile delegation for a 7-hour visit, during which both sides agreed on a long-term friendship and cooperation pact. According to Karzai's spokesperson, the foreign ministers of both countries are bent on drawing up the accord for the presidents to sign.
The two presidents commissioned their foreign ministers to prepare these documents. Currently, in addition to foreign ministries, other ministries and organizations are working on the document since it is a comprehensive document, including all fields of cooperation. It will be signed by the two sides as soon as it is prepared.
The relationship between these two countries, of course, is not limited to the last decade. Afghanistan was once part of the Persian Empire, and even today, their joint cultural, religious, and historical aspects make them inseparable. In both countries, people speak Farsi, both are Muslim nations, and both share a lot of their history. When Britain was most fervently pursuing its colonialist policies and had the Indian subcontinent under its control, one of its main concerns was keeping northern powers from forming any designs on resource-rich India. To do this, it orchestrated the separation of the main cities of modern-day Afghanistan, Kandahar and Herat, from Iran by eliciting political and military help from its allies. After several attacks on Iranian soil, Britain succeeded on the 4th of March 1857, with the help of France's Napoleon III, in forcing Iran to sign an agreement via which British forces would exit Iran and Iran would recognize Herat's independence. By doing so, Britain created a buffer zone between the Russian Empire and India.
The current border between Iran and Afghanistan were delineated later when British Empire colonized India and then captured Balochistan. In that time, they decided to make Afghanistan as a buffer state between Russian Empire and British Raj. They appointed an English officer called Goldsmith to draw the current border between Iran and Afghanistan. Since then, the borders haven't changed at all.
In the decades that followed, many kings came and went in both countries until the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran, which ended 2,500 years of monarchical rule in the country. Up until then, Afghanistan was coping with internal conflict when the Soviet Union's Red Army began its insurgency. The Muslims fought to throw out the communists for 10 years. In 1989, the last few troops exited the country at last. While Afghanistan was fighting the communists, Iran was at war. Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein had attacked the country. The war ended 8 years later, and although battered and bruised itself, Iran never tried to stem the flow of Afghan refugees into the country. Iran was every Afghan refugee's first choice because they spoke the same language.
Afghanistan 36 سال است در جنگ به سر می‌برد.
Afghanistan has been suffering from war for about 36 years. Once, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan and people had to flee to neighboring countries, especially Iran and Pakistan. Those who could afford went to European countries, but most of them went to these two countries, that is, Iran and Pakistan.
At the moment, there are more than 1.5 million Afghan refugees in Iran. Only 10% of them are in camps. The rest are living and working in different cities across the country. Many of them have even attended university and do not plan on going back to their country even though the war is over.
If we compare Afghan immigrants in these two countries, those who went to Iran could have a much better life in comparison with those who went to Pakistan. The immigrants have been in the two countries for 36 years, and during this period of time, a new Afghan generation came to being. Once, there were around 3 million Afghan immigrants in Iran, but now the number has reduced to about 2 million. Those who left Afghanistan during the Soviet Union war have 36-year-old children or so. Their children went to universities in Iran and became educated. Right now, in the current administration, many employees are graduates of Iranian universities. Even those who don't have university education learned different skills in Iran and serving their country right now.
After the Soviet troops left, internal conflict gripped Afghanistan until the Taliban took over. At first, the West, especially the US, backed the Taliban. But Iran was against them because they killed Shia Muslims and portrayed Islam as aggressive and violent. Then in 1998, the Taliban killed 10 Iranian diplomats in the consulate in Mazar Sharif. At first, the US was not opposed to the Taliban. In fact, it even supported them, thinking they were against Shia Islam and a friend of the West. For instance, in 1995, when the Taliban took over Herat, killing thousands of Shia Muslims and banning girls from going to school, the US never condemned their actions. Later on, in the year 2001, the US decided to attack Afghanistan, supposedly because the Taliban was backing Al-Qaeda. Despite the bad blood between the US and Iran, Tehran decided to cooperate with the US to end the brutal Taliban rule in Afghanistan by offering the Americans intelligence. This helped the Americans secure many a victory in Afghanistan. Their cooperation ended when President George Bush labeled Iran the axis of evil. One of the crises this part of the world is coping with is poppy cultivation and the production of opium and heroin in Afghanistan. Naturally, its neighboring countries are the first victims of the narcotics trade. Iran shares nearly 1,000 kilometers of border with Afghanistan and has a booming population, so it's a perfect destination for drug traffickers.
Unfortunately, many groups that fought with USSR occupation later involved in the narcotics production and trade. Then they became a sort of mafia, and it's not easy to confront them. They force Afghan farmers to cultivate opium poppy against their will. What's more, these are some regions in Afghanistan like Helmand that neither US forces nor British troops could bring under control. Even the central government of Afghanistan was unable to get control of those regions. The Taliban are ruling over those regions, and many believe that they encourage the cultivation of poppy because that is a source of income for them.
According to UN statistics, during the Taliban's rule, the country was producing 185 tons a year. But now, after 12 years of foreign invasion, 8,300 tons are being produced. That's nearly 45 times the previous amount.
As far as narcotics are concerned, it was not common in Afghanistan at all. We could hardly find an addict in the country. But during the recent decade, due to numerous wars imposed on the country and other things, the cultivation of poppy and narcotic trade have spread like wildfire. International forces have not been successful in their attempt to uproot them, and initiatives to restore peace in Afghanistan have not been successful so far. In addition, terrorist groups who kill innocent civilians in Afghanistan every day are close allies of drug trafficking organizations.
Global research says the CIA has played a key role in the production and trafficking of heroin in and from Afghanistan. Under CIA and Pakistani protection, Pakistan military and Afghan resistance opened heroin labs on the Afghan and Pakistani border. Once the heroin left these labs in Pakistan's northwest frontier, the Sicilian mafia imported the drugs into the US, where they soon captured 60% of the US heroin market. That is to say, 60% of the U.S. heroin supply came indirectly from a CIA operation.
Though they are apparently combating drug trafficking organizations, they have taken no effective measures to eradicate them. The reason is quite clear. It's against their interests financially. They hold some meetings and conferences. They deliver many speeches and pass resolutions. But since it's against their own interests, and since drug trafficking organizations have influence on some of the authorities, they cannot wage effectively a war on drug trafficking.
There are sources that believe the CIA makes at least $50 billion via the drug trade.
It's not unlikely that in the near future the production of narcotics moves to Central Asia. It's a US plan. It was transferred from Pakistan to Afghanistan, and it's about 12 years that it's in there. And it may continue in Afghanistan in the future, since they are planning to stay at least 10 more years. It also has a plan for the Central Asia. It's going to have an eye on Russia and China.
Meanwhile, Iran spends millions of dollars each year fighting to prevent drugs getting into Iran and rehabilitating drug addicts. 3,500 police officers and border guards have been martyred in the war on narcotics, and another 10,000 have been injured.
They just pretend to defend human rights and combat drug trafficking because it's not in their own interest to do so. They hold some meetings and conferences. They deliver many speeches and even pass resolutions. But since it's against their own interests, and since drug trafficking organizations have influence on some of the authorities, they cannot wage effectively a war on drug trafficking.
The shared border between Iran and Afghanistan and the cultural and religious similarities between the two nations are a great plus for import-export companies on both sides. Afghan bazaars are full of Iranian goods. The low cost of transporting these goods and the high demand for Iranian products in Afghanistan means at least 350 trucks queue to cross into the country every day. In the past 4 years alone, the two countries have gone from trading $500 million worth of goods to $5 billion worth. At the moment, most of that is food products. We spoke to Mr. Muzaffar Ali Khani, the head of Iran and Afghanistan's Joint Chamber of Commerce.
In the near future, Iran will provide Afghanistan with technical services. There is a great opportunity to cooperate with Afghanistan in other fields like industry, mines, and agriculture. In recent decades, Afghanistan has been ruined completely. On the one hand, it has been held undeveloped, and on the other hand, its former technology has been destroyed. So a huge investment must be made in Afghanistan. As you know, in mineral industry and other industries, we can compete with other countries. In management, workforce, and so forth, the Islamic Republic of Iran can have an active role in Afghanistan. So Iran and Afghanistan can cooperate with each other thoroughly. We have invited many Iranian companies to invest in Afghanistan and undertake construction and development projects there.
The fact that Afghanistan has no sea is a problem when it comes to trading with other nations. At the moment, this country mostly uses Pakistan's Karachi port to export goods. That said, if Afghanistan uses Iran's Chabahar port, the route will be 700 kilometers shorter and cost Afghanistan 60 to 70% less. One of Karzai's objectives in his recent visit was to discuss just that.
The business relationship is very big nowadays because, unfortunately, I must say, Afghanistan have a large number of imports. And let me tell you a number. We have $375 million exports, but $6,390 million import. This is very, the balance, negative balance is very high. So we need to be in Afghanistan, we need to be self-sufficient, especially in the agriculture sector. We import all food stuff from Iran, Pakistan, and neighbor countries from Arabian. We have large number of fruit. We do not make juice, not marmalade, whatsoever needed in Afghanistan. We are not making ourselves. Even our potatoes going in the summertime to Pakistan, they store it in a cold store, bring it back in winter, selling many times expensive to us.
There is considerable potential to develop the trade between Iran and Afghanistan, but it needs a stronger political will both in Kabul and Tehran. On the one hand, we must organize Central Asia and Afghanistan's trade based on Iran's ports, and on the other hand, Iranian merchants gradually could get familiar with Afghanistan's market and invest in it.
Afghanistan's markets are fresh and fertile, an excellent opportunity for Iranian traders, but what threatens that is insecurity. That's one reason why Iran is trying to help boost security in its neighboring country, so both sides can benefit trade-wise.
If peace and security return to Afghanistan, its neighboring countries like Iran will benefit greatly from it. On the flip side, if in Afghanistan's neighboring countries insecurity increases, Afghanistan will be adversely affected. A peaceful, developed, and free Afghanistan will benefit all countries in the region, especially Iran. Afghanistan is a Farsi-speaking country and a friend of Iran, so it has a high importance for Iran.
Because if Afghanistan is secure, then the region will be in peace. We have now a war in Afghanistan, running war, Taliban against the government and government against Taliban, and the attack of the from the American force on Taliban or other people, civilian people always. So they are always insecure situation in this country.
Security in Afghanistan and a reduction in the production of narcotics will benefit the entire region. It will probably never find peace until countries that don't even belong to the region stop using military and non-military means to interfere in this country's internal affairs. But what is certain is, Iran will benefit the most from peace and stability in Afghanistan.